hello, everyone. Usually, I introduce our speaker. And I'm actually not our speaker only today. So, and today is going to be a little different format of our seminar series, in the sense that we really want this to be a discussion rather than a presentation of what we do. And we couldn't actually decide what to do. So, in other words, we'd like to talk about this subject, about sort of what's going on across campus, but I can see we have a few non-campus people here, so it can be broader than that. And we had a couple choices. We could talk, then immediately launch into what the Center for Collaborative Conservation actually does, and whether that's the right thing to do or not. And we do have some slides in there that does talk about what we do, but we thought that maybe it'd be more interesting, and we may be wrong about that, to talk about what we're doing across campus and how we could magnify that, take it to a higher level. And so that's how this is organized. So when you get bored and want to hear about the CCC, we can launch into that. But we thought what we'd do is just do a definition of how we see collaborative conservation, just so that we're relatively on the same page, but not really. And then just talk about what we think is going on campus. And I can see we've already left out a few things, because I can see certain people in this room that we haven't included, but we'll get to that. And then have a discussion of given that we have, and we do at CSU, have an amazing amount of work done in this area, how could we bring that to a higher level? So Adele Benson might say, well, then we should have part of the upcoming conference that he's organizing do this. Or Dan Binkley might say, well, why don't you all come out to Compadre and do that, or whatever, that sort of thing. Or we might say something emergent that is much broader than that. And the part that is about the CCC, if we get to that, will include all the members of our team at the CCC that are in the room talking about different bits of the CCC, but we won't necessarily get to that. Okay, so, and apologies right away for offending several people in this room, but these were just off the top of our heads and not meant to be fully inclusive, but we thought that these were some of the initiatives on campus. And that alone tells you there's a lot of action in this area. So we have this great environmental governance working group, and there's not so many people that don't know, but because of Geronimo and maybe Linda, maybe not know about this, and maybe a couple others that don't know about this. This is a great group of folks that are focused on the sort of the governance piece, so the political science, sociology, anthropological policy part of when you think of bringing people together and doing collaborative work, and more, at a sort of so I'm about to say something that I want Heidi to correct me on, more at the national, state level governance type of stuff. Also international, right? So there's climate change stuff in there.
Yeah, and the Environmental Governance Working Group is a research center of the Earth System Governance Project, which is an international project that has research stations in different countries across the world.
All right, so it's not just SOGES anymore. It has graduated to the higher level.
So EGWIG came from that, and SOGES houses EGWIG. So this is where EGWIG is.
Okay, thought it started out as a SOGES research challenge grant.
Yeah, I would be looking for a home.
Sweet. Oh, well, then this is even bigger than I thought. And so, fantastic. All right. Then the Colorado Forest Restoration Institute, many of you know about that work, led by Tony Chang, and Megan works there, and Dan also has been part of that for a very long time, and others. Fantastic work in the state of Colorado. I know mostly about what they do on Compadre, but there's a lot of other things that they do, very important work, and what I love about what they do is that a ton of it is on the ground, a very big focus on doing forest restoration stuff in collaborative groups on the ground. Colorado State Forest Service, at least a couple years ago, they said that's the only thing they do, is partner. So they only do forest stuff that has to do with fire, that has to do with timber, that has to do with conservation, if they do it together. Agricultural Extension, bunch of extension agents. This is kind of what they do for a living, partially collaborative conservation, but other things, but very collaborative in what they do. Maybe the Agricultural Experiment Station also, the work that they do. Colorado Water Institute, no question. Institute of the Built Environment, wow, they do a lot of collaborative stuff as well. Center for Protected Areas Management and Training. I know CEMAL, there's Lee sitting in the back, is leading a collaborative effort, and that doesn't have a name yet. But it's starting to move in that direction.
It's mostly just a conversation among all the different centers.
So conversation. It's a brand new collaborative effort. So, any other big ones that we're missing here on campus that you would just sort of right away say sort of an initiative that has a name? There's probably 50 more, but it's nobody.
Clean energy supercluster.
Oh, nice.
I think it's under a new name. It's like the Powerhouse Energy Institute.
Yeah.
There's like 9 different projects going on here.
Sweet. And based out of mostly engineering or?
No, I think it's like half engineering, half natural science.
Nice.
Yeah.
Clean energy supercluster. I'm hoping someone is taking that. Thank you very much. All right. Now to get even more offensive, here are some of the faculty that were off the top of our minds just 2 hours ago that we could think of. Mm-hmm. And apologies to the people that are not here. I can see that Lee's not here. I can see that there's a few. Well, Linda's not here, but yeah. Anyway, so this is just to demonstrate that there are a ton of individual efforts, meaning individuals that are deeply interested, that are part of some of those initiatives, but run some work all on their own as well, and have a ton of students and research and outreach as part of their work. And some are more on the research side, some are more on the student side, some are more on the outreach side. But there is just, this is the reason that I think that we should make a big deal about what we do here, is those initiatives are strong, and they're a little bit fragmented, let's say, potentially, but that's okay. And there's a ton of people that are doing this stuff. So that's really, that's why I get so excited about what we get to do every day, is that we have so many talented people that come from every direction you can imagine. Engineering is not even on there. So the engineering people that just mentioned is not even on there. So in other words, it goes across our campus. Atmospheric science isn't on there. I'm sure they're doing stuff. So in other words, it's very much this collaborative effort. And you can say, oh, that's such a big umbrella, but almost every one of these people, I can see very specific things that they're doing with groups on the ground that are making a difference through research or education. So, and I won't go to the others because we may be here for some time talking about, but the point of that is to sort of recognize that. Is there anything else, Chai, you'd like to say about this slide?
Love to hear of more folks that we should get in touch with.
All right, so she said, love to hear if anybody else, of anyone else that thinks that they're doing something in this area. Okay, and so now that I've pointed out all the collaborative stuff, now here's the definition. Probably should have done that first. So from our perspective, and this is pretty broad, but sort of what is collaborative conservation is sort of these diverse actors, more than one person or organization working together. And they're usually crossing some kind of boundary. So here we're talking about institutional boundaries, so between organizations or jurisdictions, administrative boundaries on landscapes, that sort of thing. So when the Forest Service works outside of their realm with local landowners. In our definition, we like to bring conservation and livelihoods together because we think there's a ton of action there. And so not all people would include livelihoods as part of collaborative conservation, but for me, once you get to the word collaborative, you're implying livelihoods. However, some focus more or less in different areas. And they're exploring different diverse viewpoints, different viewpoints of a particular issue, so they can take their work beyond what anyone could do alone, or go beyond their own limited vision of what is possible. Well, that's pretty broad. But for me, those ones in those other slides, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do this. Or doing research to support this, or research on this. I had some slides to the CCC team. Sorry, I threw in some slides at the last minute. So who's doing this? Well, there's lots of people doing this. This is the Colorado Natural Heritage Program here. Here's Pete Taylor down in Latin America. Here's Maria Fernandez Menes with her students in Mongolia. Here, actually, I'm not sure if I recognize anyone in this, but
that's Dieter Erdman.
Dieter Erdman, okay. Out and Tony Chang, maybe there? Joanna Rotepinho in probably Liberia. Mongolian group working together up at Pine Ridge. Anyway, all over the place. It's all over this. And there's this great quote, which I cannot quote you on because I don't remember it very well, but something like this. Paul Hawken in The Blessed Unrest, he says, basically, if you look at the science of what's going on in the Earth, if you're not pessimistic, then you don't have the data. But if you look around and see this unnamed movement of what's actually happening on the ground, if you don't have hope, then you don't have a heart. And so, you know, it's to me, this is where the heart comes in and where the amazing stuff. So just very quickly, 78 is the number of something. Ah, the number of watershed groups in Colorado. So these are collaborative groups in the state of Colorado. 128 are the number of collaborative groups that Chaska has found throughout the state of Colorado. They're focusing on something that has to do with collaborative governance across boundaries. There might be 200, there might be more. This is cross-sector, so not just forest, not just watershed, not just rangeland, not just urban, not just water,
energy.
Not just energy. So, and she's working on a project to try to pull that together for the state of Colorado in something we call the Atlas. 150. In Kenya, in the country of Kenya, Geronimo, there are at least 150 wildlife conservancies in your country, according to Dixon Kylo, who runs the Kenya Wildlife Conservancy Association, and maybe 200, and probably 50 in your backyard. No, not quite. But many. But Geronimo works with many of these in Samburu and central Kenya. 2,000, this is the number of community-based natural resource herding groups in the country of Mongolia. And I don't know if they really counted them, every single one, but this was kind of a pretty good estimate. So how many do we have in the world? I don't know, 30,000? 50,000? This is the unnamed movement that we actually all in this room are part of. You know, this is the action that's happening. And, you know, frankly, when I look at our governments generally and how they don't get stuff done, this is where the action is occurring. And I'm glad to see Linda smile since she works for the government. She does not represent that comment. So that went on a little bit longer than I had thought. But, so, there are slides after this about the Center for Collaborative Conservation, but I thought maybe having a discussion about, you know, sort of, if that is what we're doing on campus, what could we do to take our work to the higher level? And this is really actually, so what could be doing students? What could students be doing? And what could be doing with students? What could faculty be doing? What could practitioners, meaning folks that do this stuff on the ground outside the university? And some of these people do it on the ground, you know. And then sort of what, this one is really more, what do we want to be known for, you know, in some time? In other words, if it's correct that CSU is in a unique position because of the amazing work that we do in this area, I think we're keeping our light under a bushel and that we really ought to try to bring it up to a higher level. And clearly, we happen to work at a Center for Collaborative Conservation that wants to be part of that, but we're not the only story about this at all, by a long shot. So, my thought was that we could, we have five tables, we might ask one of the tables to join another one or join together, but we might have maybe four tables that could each take a discuss each of these, unless there's another question that somebody says, no, let's not talk about that, let's talk about this. So we were sort of struggling with this morning, but you know, sort of this is more, what do we want to be known for rather than raising our visibility, because that gets at that. Does that sound like a reasonable thing to do? Everybody game to have a little discussion? And then we might do that for, I don't know, 15 minutes and come back, and then if you want to hear about the CCC, we'll do that too. Kind of getting a few nods, yeah, maybe, we get a really big nod, nice, thank you. So maybe, how many CCC people do we have? We have one? Oh, okay. So we can do five tables, I think, actually. Why don't we do five tables instead of four? So CCC people, if you don't mind being the facilitators, as you already know, and maybe the folks that are sitting on the side, if you don't mind joining this table, and hi, Conrad. And you can actually talk about anything you want to here, and so you could cross all of it, or you could talk about something else, but with the idea of how do we take our collaborative efforts across campus and outside campus to a higher level. And then, you know, make specific suggestions, yeah, we ought to do this, or general philosophical suggestions, it doesn't really matter. And so we're listening and taking notes, And this will, for us at the CCC, will feed into our next strategic plan, but could, maybe somebody will say, we should do something broader that, you know, brings us all together even more than we are, and so we can do that. Okay. Is that abundantly unclear? Because there are some confused faces there. There's Dave.
Well, could you maybe just hit on what you think the most, the effective components of your current strategy are?
Oh, ours? So, okay.
Or what is it about your current strategy that you think is not working?
Well, I guess I don't particularly necessarily want to focus on the CCC. However, if I were to look around and look at what we're doing generally, I think there's not enough. That's why this higher level. I don't think we're making enough. We're not bringing our work together enough to make as much of a difference as we could. In the research arena on the ideas, in the education arena on students and being prepared to be these transformative leaders for the, you know, sort of these new conservation leaders that we're trying to train here. So in the area of connecting what we do, and I'll talk about being a university person, with what's happening on the ground. And the, whether that be a connection that is outside the university in a research sense, more I'm thinking of actual action that changes how landscapes and waterscapes are managed and used and things like that. So those, so very generally, that I would say that those are, and those happen to match three of our five goals of the CCC. So, you know, I am repeating back to you how we've designed the CCC. But I think just getting to the specifics of the CCC right at this stage maybe wouldn't be so helpful. I'd rather, you know, us think more broadly, because I think that we only have a limited imagination of what's possible at the CCC, so maybe having a discussion first would be a useful thing. Okay. Does that sound all right? We are? Okay. So we've got table back there, table there, you folks are there, and Dan, I don't know which table you're going to join, that one or that one. And then
okay.
Pick, you know, these are just suggestions. You pick on, you know, if you wanted to really make a difference in this area, collaborative governance, collaborative conservation, collaborative work, what would you do?
Empower governments to collaborate with people.
Well, actually,
that's the point you just raised for Linda, that these governments are tremendously important, but ineffective. How would we help them become effective in collaboration?
Exactly. That's number
excellent
one.
Excellent idea.
All right, so that's an excellent idea. I will take some notes of this table.
You
know.
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, you arrived today.
We met.
You met everybody.
We had to go a little longer than we thought because the conversation was going. Could we have a little bit of sharing? We don't have to have like formal reporting back, but rather, you know, maybe from each table, someone volunteer to describe an idea that you came up with, or a problem, or a challenge, or whatever you'd like. And I'm going to point to Heidi's table. Heidi's table, do you want to, does someone there want to?
Ooh. Ooh. I'm just copying Teresa's notes, but we're ready to do this. So, since this is a broad interpretation of discussion, we talked about a lot of things. But as far as connecting efforts on campus, we talked a bit about partially about what the CCC is doing as far as creating modules for classes and getting in classrooms to talk about collaborative conservation, but increasing that as well as some of the kind of political science classes and other classes to maybe work on increasing some of the presence for a variety of these collaborative groups across campus, and having some kind of like go-to modules, you know, specifically for groups like the CCC or others, so that students can see how to apply the theory that they're learning to actual practice. And then we talked a bit about, I mean, there's always the idea of a conference, but the kind of the consideration of identifying all these groups working across campus or in a broader region, kind of like the Atlas on a smaller scale, identifying what those groups are and then bringing them together to have this kind of workshop discussion about shared priorities and kind of how to organize around shared visioning and priorities if groups are interested. So it's around resources or geographic location or who's involved or how you kind of organize around some of that to increase that level of collaborative effort. And then we talked about some grad student offered to students, and so doing some of the things that EGWAKE has done in the past and other groups where you have kind of study groups with credits available for students to kind of get together and work on some of these collaborative conservation issues and learn about how to apply different frameworks or kind of share their research in a setting that's helpful for them and is something that we aren't necessarily getting in coursework. And I will stop there.
Wow, that was a very active three-person group back there. A lot of great ideas. How about over
out of our group, it was kind of born too that there definitely needs to be something like the Atlas project done just for CSU.
Huh. Nice.
So people know who's doing what, what's going on at what time, and to kind of put that their projects and their materials somewhere that they can be found easily.
Yep.
You know, like we put our seminars on our website, but then somebody may not go know to go to our website to find those seminars. So how do we get that material out there to people?
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is that we, you know, grad students and undergrad students, they're in it for the short term. So how can we make it more of a long-term process for the stakeholders who are actually going to be involved
yep.
for the long run?
Mm-hmm.
Making tools accessible so people who come in can have a really brief history of what's going on, and so they can pretty much hit the ground running. But I think that's just about, I mean, I've got a lot more, but we'll go from there.
Nice. Very interesting. That sounds like a big job, what's being suggested there, but could be very useful.
Yeah.
Thank you. How about the center table?
Okay, so I guess some of our highlights, just kind of the discussion of that time seems to be a limiting factor for a lot of this, with all those groups, students, faculty, practitioners, everybody's kind of in their little wheel having too much on their plate already, so it's hard to look up and collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it needs to be in the work plan, it needs to be a class in the undergraduate
mm-hmm.
schedule
mm-hmm.
for it to have time for it to happen. Integrating more real-world projects, that happens some at the university, but not enough. And there are resource and time issues with that. That the CCC, something that it could provide is tools and skills so that when, for example, the fellows leave or undergraduates leave, that they have a good toolbox of
mm-hmm.
how to collaborate better.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a facilitation role with that, because that's something that a lot of the agencies
mm-hmm.
and these other groups need. And then we echoed the shared priorities.
And having you throw the opening pitch at a Rockies game, like Tony Frank does for PR. For
PR.
Actually, to increase the awareness.
Awareness, I like it.
Thank
you.
Did you hear that? You could sing the national anthem.
Yeah, I actually sing too. That would be pretty bad. Nobody would come. Wow, lots of flush here at the center table as well. Please.
So, first thing that came up is something that has come up again and again. We get a lot of requests to CCC for facilitation services, which we do not specifically provide within our own expertise. We often go outside to train our fellows and that sort of thing, but we have not ever specifically offered like a matchmaking facilitation service. But we've heard a lot from a lot of different people that I'm sure would be useful. So we are starting to actually build a database, but maybe making that a little bit more formal, maybe putting it on a website or something would be of use to people, particularly faculty. This came out of Randy, who was saying, you know, he doesn't necessarily know who to go to, but the first people he would think of if he needed some sort of facilitated process over a period of time and would prefer somebody with a little bit of expertise in this area, he would come to us. So that's...
Excuse me, for clarification, are you talking about facilitation of a meeting, like the communication, or facilitation, making the connections among people with similar interests?
Facilitation of processes or meetings, I would say, we're thinking kind of longer term. So, for example, I ran into a gentleman at a conference recently at the Colorado Water Conservation Board Summit, who is he's from a climate change issues NGO. He was looking for somebody specifically to facilitate a series of meetings with municipalities and county representatives. And I was like, I don't know, but I'll find somebody. So luckily, through emailing, I was able to find it, but there's gotta be a better way. So that was one thing, and then another was kind of that we're hearing the sort of inventory of what's going on across the university we're thinking might fall more under the purview of SOGES, and we happen to have a SOGES representative here who's talking about the great things that they do, so I was gonna let her say.
So the School of Global Environmental Sustainability, I'm still fairly new to them, so I'm by far not an expert, but SOGES is trying to be the umbrella group for everything sustainable going on campus, so it goes across all different departments, and they're bringing together education, research, and then having an outreach component. And so they're really trying to be that hub that brings together faculty and the community and everybody to kind of make it more accessible for everything environmental sustainability. And just even through some of the events they put on, like their Managing the Planet panels, where they bring together faculty and professionals and experts within a certain topic, and then they're open to the community. And in that very action of having that panel with the experts, and then having the community being very involved in it, it's really cool to see where you end up at the very end of this process. And there's a lot of connections formed just by having everybody in the same room and kind of this amorphous way of discussing a topic. And so,
yeah.
I don't know if I covered.
Yeah, I think as far as like, you know, being a horn blower for some of these.
Exactly, and
things going on.
I think that there's definitely this call for. There's a lot of people that are all trying to bring everyone together, to all have everybody in the same room. And I think if there's too many people trying to bring people together, once again, it comes down to people just don't have time to be, to have their hands in all sorts of different groups. And so kind of starting to get the groups that want to bring people together all turning within the same circle will make that circle a lot stronger, instead of having a lot of independent circles forming, trying to bring them more working together.
And I think just to add on that, I think that SOGES is one of the reasons that we're no longer keeping our strength in this area quiet, because SOGES is providing such a wonderful platform to bring collaborative groups together in many, many ways, as we've talked about. So, you know, I think another is bringing our collaborative efforts across campus to higher levels, and in many ways, it's SOGES is, you know, sort of, they're the overarching umbrella that even though we have an institutional structure that can really, really help with that. So, thank you for bringing that up. Anything else from this group?
Lots of random lines of conversation.
And I don't want to speak for this group, so.
You're standing.
I am standing, but I
took the notes.
You took the notes.
I did take the notes, but notice my computer is closed.
Okay, so let me
recall and then pass the ball. So there was a really nice set of comments over here by Linda about how collaboration allows flexibility in an institution that has to regulate, meaning the U.S. Forest Service, and how it creates this, what I would call this sort of safe playing field to be innovative. And then if an institution like hers is part of that, then it might even get institutionalized eventually. Could you maybe expand on that point?
So I was thinking that, you know, you have to have rules and regulations, and society has to have a process by which we decide how to make rules and regulations, and institutions are the same way. And with climate change, that was kind of a new thing, and, you know, it was like, oh, we're not sure about this. And so a group of us out here in the West initiated some studies, case studies on individual forests. And so we tried different things, and we didn't say we had the answer. We said, what would you like to do? And then we brought that to a regional workshop, which energized people across the West on their individual forests, and they went out and did things, like wrote their regional forester and said, you need to address this. And they felt energized by that. And then eventually, you know, some of that seeped into our institutional policy. We got a very bright person at the head, but he took advantage of the things that we had done in this kind of experimental, outside the norm area. So I think institutions, especially our federal government, needs, you know, we have to make rules and regulations, but they need a place where they can try some things. And I think collaboration,
mm-hmm.
Collaborative projects offers
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So
very nice. And then there was another comment here about how in the Colorado State Forest Service and the U.S. Forest Service, they tend to be looking for technical people still. that if those people had a little bit more collaborative knowledge and team building, that would be more attractive. And yet, Dell was saying, but then there's some students that just really don't want to go there. You know, they're not interested in that sort of collaborative approach, which is totally fine. But just sort of this, one of the things that we've observed in our fellows program is that often it's the technical folks that when they go into doing collaborative efforts actually make, you know, a bigger change and a bigger shift in how they do things than the social scientists do, because the social scientists tend to be already there and sort of moving on. And they're providing the leadership, you know, and sort of thinking of how to do this and things like that. So some Dell's been teaching courses here, bringing it back to CSU, for a long time, and in this area of engagement and outreach and public participation and awareness and things like that, relations. And hopefully we're making some progress in this area. Do you want to make a comment about where we...
Well, maybe just a slight comment and relate something that Bethlehem was telling us about a meeting that she was involved with in Holland. And it related to this group of multiple disciplines that came together to deal with a question. And I don't think we should confuse having multiple disciplines together and integrated collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Collaboration means working together, not just having a bunch of different-minded people in the same room. I think we're lucky sometimes if we just get different-minded people in the same room. But then the next step is how do we actually work together,
yeah.
And where each learns from the other and benefits. And I think we're still quite a long ways from that. There's some organizations, and I bet some of you in the room that have had successes here. But too often we tend to jump back into our silos too quickly.
So one of the things that I think in my agency that we don't have time for is reflecting on what we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think while getting a list of everybody on campus who's doing collaborative work would be interesting and informative and would toot our horn,
mm-hmm.
it might be that the Center for Collaborative Conservation could help them reflect on their successes.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if each group came together and you asked them one question like, okay, tell us an example where you did collaboration and it didn't work,
mm-hmm.
why didn't it work?
Mm-hmm.
Or tell us what your most successful attempt at collaboration and why did it work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think that might be the case here at the university,
mm-hmm.
and if nothing else, you could share that cooperative
mm-hmm.
learning as
mm-hmm.
well.
Sweet, I think. We're getting sort of to the end of our time. That clock says we're behind time, and that one says we're advanced time, so we're probably hopefully somewhere in the middle. Does anybody have a last parting shot they'd like to, or comment they'd like to bring up? Well, absent that, thank you very much. And this may not have been what you expected out of this session. We didn't want to talk at you. We wanted to learn together by listening and also contributing. However, maybe next fall we'll actually talk about the Center for Collaborative Conservation or something like that. Thank you, and just know that the Center for Collaborative Conservation generally is here for everybody, and this is your center. It's not, you know, owned by the people that happen to work there, and so welcome, or as they say in Swahili, karibu sana, you're very welcome. Thank you.